Today on More to Life, let me speak to the manager. Stressed out by the need to manage everything and everyone, tired of feeling like everything's up to you, we'll help you find peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, let me speak to the manager. We're talking about being stressed out by the need to manage everything and everyone. You know, if you have the good fortune of being a competent person, the bad fortune of being a competent person is that you end up doing more and more and more. And sometimes that's because you may have a hard time letting other people help you. Sometimes it's because other people aren't willing to help out, and you end up getting stuck with stuff. Either way, it's not a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we want to help you find peace by learning how to ask for your needs, by doing a better job of getting the people around you to help if they've been reluctant or dragging their feet. We want to help you feel less like a manager of people and things and more of a person. 877-573-7825 is the number to call.
You know, he said, if you're competent at things, I mean, it's the old adage, right? If you dig a good hole, they give you a bigger shovel. And often in family life, whether it's the family we're raising or the family we're born into, if you show some kind of competency, everybody just goes, well, that's that person's role. Let's just support that strength in that person. That's what we're doing. We're not taking advantage. We're supporting their strengths. No. They're draining you in some way, shape, or form. And it is exhausting, but it's also not healthy for your relationships with them and their own ability to grow and give and love and be supportive of each other and you and have the skills that they all need for life. When we just say, well, it's the servant thing to do. I'll just dig down and have a servant's heart about this, and I'll just handle everything. Because it's easier than having those conversations. It saves more time than teaching other people how to do things or discussing your needs as a group or as your own individual self. And we fall into these patterns until we start to break. And then suddenly we're not telling people our needs. We're screaming at them to meet our needs. Or we're going off and hiding somewhere. None of it is the peace God wants us to have.
Or we're just throwing our hands up in the air and saying, well, I guess nobody's going to help me, so I just have to do it all myself. And, you know, however it plays out for you, let us help you find peace. 877-573-7825.
And if you're feeling like you've got a to-do list emotionally and physically and practically that's 800 pages long to get done over the weekend, well, then you might be falling into this category. Let us help you find more peace, more connection, more love today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, as we were preparing for the show, we came across a recent study of caregiver burnout among moms that found that the risk of burnout was strongly tied not only to unmet caregiving needs and family dynamics, but also to self-stigma. the internal pressure to appear strong or indispensable. Moms with high self-criticism, low family resilience, and high unmet needs showed the highest levels of emotional exhaustion. You know, what's more, the more isolated or unsupported the moms in this study felt, the more severe the experience of burnout. You know, the study stressed that in order to reduce burnout, we've got to address not just external help, but the internal wound that says, I've got to do this all by myself. You know, so in short, when somebody believes that they have to carry everything, when they lack reciprocal support in relationships or feel unable to receive, they tend to carry a far heavier weight physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And if you're seeing yourself in that at all, we want to speak to the manager. 877-573-7825, because you're the manager. Tell us, do you ever feel like you don't have, do you ever feel like if you don't handle everything yourself, nothing will get done? What do you do when you're in a relationship where you give and give, but the other person doesn't seem to give back? Do you struggle with the sense that you have to do everything in order to get even the least bit back from the people in your life? Do you struggle to trust others to take care of you or even allow them to help or give yourself permission to ask for help? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence today and we bring to you that feeling that we often have that tells us that everything is up to us. That either it's wrong for us to ask for help, or we struggle to get the help that we need from the people who claim to love us. Help us to remember what your servant St. John Paul taught, which is that we are meant to live in communion with each other, that we are called to give and to receive as a way of building true intimacy and relationship in everything that we do. We ask all this through the intercession of the Holy Family, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how can some theology help me be more comfortable stating my needs or be more assertive in getting help from others? Well, I'm glad you came to the right place, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on the question, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that became the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that God never intended us to carry everything on our own. The theology of the body teaches us that authentic love is always a mutual self-giving. That means God calls us not only to serve others, but also to allow others to serve us.
That's right. You know, St. John Paul, in Love and Responsibility, his book, says, quote, love consists of a commitment that is a self-gift, a giving of the self. But then he also reminds us that real love allows the other person to give back. If we refuse help, we're actually robbing the other person of the joy of blessing us with the gifts God's given them.
And that can be so hard to open ourselves to. Sometimes we think we're being humble by not needing anything. But in truth, it's pride that keeps us from acknowledging our vulnerability. St. Francis de Sales said, to receive a benefit with good grace is to repay it. I'm going to say that one more time. St. Francis de Sales said, to receive a benefit with good grace is to repay it. Allowing others to care for us is a gift.
The theology of the body points us to the Trinity as our model for healthy human relationships. So St. Bonaventure actually described the Trinity as a three-bucket water wheel, where each person pours himself out, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet none of them run dry because they're each being continually refilled by the other buckets. That's the kind of life God wants for our marriages, families, and friendships.
When we try to do everything ourselves, it's often because we grew up without models of mutual self-giving, or we're in unhealthy relationships where the giving is not reciprocated. We burn ourselves out trying to make unhealthy relationships healthy, all on our own power. And that can trap us in a sense that we need to work for love instead of being able to work from love.
Yeah, but God's plan's different. By practicing healthy vulnerability, setting boundaries with those who won't give back, and fostering communion with those who will, we live that Trinitarian vision of love and discover relationships that refresh us instead of depleting us. Okay, well, that sounds all good in theory, but how do we actually apply it in our situations when we are personally struggling to ask for help or let people take care of us, or when the people around us aren't willing to help? 877-573-7825. Let's go to our callers. Lisa, who's up?
Let's talk now with Marianne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Marianne, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Well, hi. I've been just turned it on at the right time. I wanted to, this is pretty much pertains to me. I grew, when I, my children were young, I did everything. The fighting between them to get them to do it was just so overwhelming. I fought, gave up and gave in. Now I see it cycling down to my children and my grandchildren, and it's so sad because it, I feel, I just started feeling the blame for it. I haven't ever really felt that way. Well, I have, but I've gone to confession because, you know, we don't want to hold on to that really too long. But
yeah.
I do believe it's a cycle. I had this probably, I didn't have that in my family. My mother made us scrub the walls because we couldn't afford paint. So, I mean, we were good Catholic, beautiful Catholic parents. I was blessed to have, but my children unfortunately did not. Their father was not, and he was, he, God rest his soul. They love him very much, but very a tendency to not want to do any. Now, anyway, you understand what I'm saying, I believe. So, could you?
Yes.
Prayer. Is there anything that I can do as a mother and grandmother now?
Sure. I also want to affirm in you the fact that it wasn't just that the kids would fight about helping out. That certainly exhausted you more and made you make that decision in each moment that that was happening. But there's a lot of complex family stuff there. And when you say how capable you became because, you know, you were too poor to afford paint, so you scrubbed the walls, there's also that idea of, I want to do better for my kids than I had to live with when I was a kid. Even though it was blessed in many ways, it was hard work. And so there's this, there's all of this stuff that goes into our decisions.
Yeah.
And we, you know, end up making these decisions along the way, not realizing what it's going to produce. But I appreciate the wisdom you're having and your desire to say, I want to set my kids and my grandkids free of this.
How old are your grandkids, Marianne?
My grandkids range from, five up until 26.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah. And tell me about your relationship with your adult kids. Like, do they talk to you about their own struggles with this, or you know, is that not something that you discuss?
No. They'll shut me out if I try to tell them. I can't even get my daughter to get my grandson, my baby grandson, the youngest, baptized. But she kind of went with this woke thing. I'm gonna blame it on college. I'm sorry, but she wasn't like that.
No, I understand. Thing. So they. They're not
shut me
in
out
church.
No.
So do you talk to them at all?
Yes. Regularly, I talk to my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, and the others by text message, or if they have an emergency and need it.
Okay.
Me for something.
No, that's fine.
I still support them financially, though. A couple of them.
That's interesting.
It's hard.
Well, okay, so All right. So a couple of thoughts here. Number one, you know, the conversations you want to have are important, right? And even if they aren't rooted in the faith, you know, they're important conversations, because it's all about letting your kids, as Lisa was saying, you know, have a better, healthier marriage and family life than you had in your own marriage and when you were raising the kids, and you want the best for them. The thing about that, though, is that we need to make sure that our relationship is deep enough to contain the conversations we want to have with people, right? So if I want to talk about sort of the needs that my adult kids have or the concerns my adult kids have, if I want to talk about more serious topics, that has to make sense in the context of the relationship that I've got. So the first step is working to build that relationship however you can to make it deeper so that you can have the discussions that you want to be able to have. You know, if like you said, you know, if the limit of your relationship with your kid might be a text relationship with, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine. You know, and what did you do? This and that. It doesn't make sense in the context of that relationship to suddenly leap to a deeper level of intimacy, like talking about needs or talking about concerns or your kid's fears. You know, if you imagine sort of seven levels of intimacy, that's like going from level two, where you're just talking about facts and current events, all the way up to like level six, where you're talking about needs. And it's such a big jump that you end up kind of, well, getting rejected. So you want to try to find safe ways to bridge the gap between where you are in that relationship with where you'd like to be. And how do you do that? Well, by letting them know that you're willing to listen to what they have to say. If they're not willing to hear you, then you want to make sure that you're being a much better listener to whatever it is that they're saying. You might not agree with what they're saying, but we talk about this in our book, having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with adult sons and daughters. We talk about the difference between accompaniment and approval. Like you were mentioning that some of your kids have really adopted an ideology that you don't approve of and that you struggle with, and that's okay. As painful as that is, we can still accompany our kids by recognizing the intention that they're trying to meet or the need they're trying to meet, even while we disagree or have concerns with the way they're going about it. So, for example, I'm not saying this is true for you, but if you said one of your adult kids was living with somebody instead of being married to them, you could appreciate their desire for love, their desire for a relationship, their desire for connection, but you could still express concerns that the way they're going about meeting those intentions or needs might not be fulfilling for them. And because you're your mom and you want the best for them, you wanted to bring up those concerns, not as a way of judging them or lecturing them or trying to hit them over the head with some kind of moral whatever that they don't share, but being able to say, you know, I get it. I see how, you know, I want you to have a love that's deep and lasting. I want you to have that connection and that communion with others, but I'm just concerned that the way you're doing it isn't going to get you there. And that's why I'm raising these questions or concerns. So you can still listen to what they're saying and try to appreciate the intention or need behind their positions, even if you don't appreciate their positions. I really encourage you to check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, because it's going to help you figure out how to make the relationship deep enough to be able to contain the conversations that you want to have. In terms of your financial support, I'm afraid that the other thing that I'd like you to see you do is work on yourself to overcome some of the codependency that you've displayed that prevented you from being able to ask for help, and that would enable you to be a better witness to your kids of what it is to be in a healthy relationship and to be able to set healthy boundaries. So please consider those things. And if we can help you more personally with it, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Marian, thank you so much for the question. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled, Let Me Speak to the Manager. We're talking about the tendency to get stressed out by the need to manage everything and everyone. And if you feel like you're tired of that, or you're not sure what to do to get the help from the people around you, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, Let Me Speak to the Manager. We're talking about you, the manager who feels like you have to manage everything and everyone. How can you step out of that trap? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. You can imagine that she has a lot to manage. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Let me speak to the manager, and it's you.
And it's you, and it sneaks up on you. I mean, I remember a couple of days after our first child was born, Greg and I looked at each other and we were like, when does the babysitting gig end? When do the real parents show up? Because it just kind of hits you, and it hits you more and more with each child, and we don't even realize how much we're taking on and how much for so many of us our self-esteem, our self-worth, our self-image gets wrapped up in being the one who's in charge of it all. And that's not really great for who we are as children of God, is it, Rachel?
No, it's not. You know, sometimes we feel like we're the only ones we can rely on. But God gave us a family. He gave us a spouse. And He wants us to use these gifts, these blessings He's given us, to make us better people and also to help them reach the holiness He aspires for them. And I think the easiest thing to fall into, especially today, with all of the social media, and if you're spending time on Instagram and you see all these perfect families, remember, chant to yourself, I'm creating a home. I'm not creating an image. And
okay, I'm just stop right there. Stop right there. Say that again, and then I'm going to make you go out and put it on T-shirts. Yes. Say it again.
You're creating a home, not an image.
And that is huge, because we all get tempted into that, don't we? Whether it's the perfect Catholic family at the other end of the pew. I'm sure many people thought that of you. I've heard that when I've gone and done talks. Oh, Rachel Watkins, she's so perfect, and she's got these 11 kids, and she's walking the walk that she talks. And we can get this image in our minds that we will be good enough in God's eyes, in our own eyes, in the world's eyes, if we just do it all perfectly all by ourselves, don't we?
We do. And what we are missing in this is the relationships we are building with our spouse, especially with our children, when we let them break into our perfect world and help with the chores. Make the kitchen messy as they're learning to cook. each of those moments when we're helping try to form them and disciple them into being the best person God wants them to be, that's a time for a relationship. It's a time to help your husband learn that changing diapers isn't frightening and that he's competent at it and he's going to be a great dad. But
yeah.
Too oftentimes we say, no, let me. No, let them. Let them. Teach them, walk with them as they're doing it so they can learn. And as you're making memories and laughs and jokes, as all that's happening, you're building a family. You're building a house full of laughter.
Yeah, and when you go in with that mindset of I'm creating a home, I'm creating a family, not an image, first of all, that takes so much weight off of us. The weight it takes off of us is all the stuff the father of lies is throwing through our heads and our hearts mm-hmm. as we try to do everything by ourselves and do it perfectly. And by ourselves, including not allowing God into the moments. And we often say, well, I'll do it all perfectly. I'll have the house look great. The children will be dressed perfectly. And I'll have my perfect sourdough starter. And then I'll take it to God so he's impressed with me. So we forget to let him in. And yeah. then we forget that all of these moments, when done in a rightly ordered way, instead of a I wait till I'm fed up and I'm screaming kind of way, builds that relationship and those memories as a family step by step, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And what we can do is, like you said, take the burden off ourselves. Go visit the Holy Family before you begin your own family and see what happens.
Amen. Thank you so much for all your wisdom, Rachel Watkins. We appreciate it so much.
Always a pleasure. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, we encourage them to go to BeholdPublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. BeholdPublications.com. We're taking your calls right now, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Are you struggling because you feel like you have to handle everything? Give us a call.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to God. God gives his earthly children earthly parents because he wants them to be able to feel his love through your body and see his face in your eyes. Christian moms and dads are meant to be the face of God to our kids. That's a beautiful thought, but it can be a little intimidating. Don't worry. God wants to parent with you. And he gives us his grace to raise his kids well. That said, this mindset requires us to be open to parenting differently than how we were raised or what comes naturally to us. No matter how good your parents were, they weren't as perfect as our Heavenly Father is. And no matter how well we turned out, we aren't saints. Yet, every day, ask God to help you be the parent He wants you to be. Ask Him to give you the grace to love generously, correct gently, and let your kids know that you delight in the gift they are to you. Pray that God will help you be the parent He's calling you to be and enable you to bring out the best in your kids. To learn more, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, let me speak to the manager. We're talking with you about those times when you feel like you have to handle everything yourself. Whether that's because you have a hard time asking for help or telling people what you need, maybe you feel guilty or like it's wrong to do that, or you're comfortable asking people for help, but they're not willing to step up. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you stop feeling like you have to manage everything. Let us speak to the manager about letting go of some of those responsibilities at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next questions, we want to let you know that one of our great EWTN radio partners needs to hear from you next week. Catholic Radio of South Carolina, with 9 stations in South Carolina, kicks off their 2025 Radiothon on Thursday.
So please support your Catholic station wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio. And make sure to keep EWTN Radio in your prayers, but also support your local Catholic radio station with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN on the air for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all the people you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled, Let Me Speak to the Manager. And we're talking to you. You're the manager, the one who feels like you have to manage everyone and everything all the time. Do you ever feel like if you don't handle everything yourself, nothing's going to get done? What do you do when you're in a relationship where you feel like you're giving and giving, but the other person just isn't giving back? Do you struggle with the sense that you have to do everything in order to get even the least bit back from the people in your life? Or do you feel frustrated because you have a hard time trusting others to take care of you or even allowing them to help and letting them know what your needs are?
If you're hearing those questions and you're going, even internally, then you should call in today because it means something about that is really resonating with you. You're carrying the weight of that. You're feeling tired of it. And you want to know how to change it, but are maybe even too tired to think of how to start. Well, let us help you today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And Greg, we got a question from Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio. She says, Hi, Dr. Greg and Lisa. I really need your advice. I grew up in a family where my parents were always overwhelmed with work and caring for my brother, who has autism. I love him dearly, but because he needed so much attention, I figured out early on that being a, she put this in quotes, good daughter meant not asking for help and not adding to anyone's stress. I learned to stay quiet and take care of myself and not expect much. Now that I'm married with 3 kids of my own, that habit is catching up with me. My husband tells me all the time that he feels shut out because I don't share what I need or even what I'm thinking. I tend to just handle everything on my own, and when I'm overwhelmed, I just push through instead of asking for support. I honestly don't even know how to ask for help without feeling guilty or like I'm being selfish or that I'll be rejected in some way. I want my marriage to be stronger, and I want my husband to feel closer to me, but I don't know how to break this pattern. How do I start learning to be more comfortable asking for help and opening up?" And that's Sarah, listening in Ohio.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for the question. Really insightful, and I'm grateful that you took the time to write us with this, because I know that there are a lot of folks who are in a similar boat and will really benefit from you having the courage to ask your question. So, a couple of things. First, let's talk about what you personally can do and how you and your husband can come together around this. So let's start with you. The key to making any change, especially a change like this, is increasing your awareness of when you could have used some help and what that might have looked like, right? Because you're going to have a tendency, people like you have a tendency to wake up in the morning and just point themselves at the day and not stop and think until they burn out at the end of it and collapse again into bed at the end of the night. And so the first step is building in some time in your day where you can reflect on that part of the day and where you could have used some help. And you might not even recognize it at first. But let's say you get to lunchtime. I would really love it if you could do this several times a day. So you say at lunch, at dinner time, you know, maybe before you go to bed, and you check in for that period of the day. So if you're at lunchtime, you kind of reflect on the morning. Where did I start to feel stressed? Where did I start to feel frustrated? You know, where did I start to feel maybe a little resentful even? Or overwhelmed. And you make a note of that. And then the next part is, if I could have gotten some help, what would that help have even looked like? And at first, you're going to feel like, I don't even know. That's okay. Just keep asking the questions and sit with it for just a couple of minutes. If you don't know, it's all right. Just get in the habit of asking the question and reflecting on what it was that you might need and what that would look like.
And if you don't have something to put in that column right away, there's a very good chance that as you keep making notes about when did I start to feel resentful, when did I start to feel overwhelmed, when did I feel like maybe if somebody had just jumped in and helped who was capable, I would have been better off, you'll begin to see those triggers, and then you'll begin to get new insights into what you could have used in those situations.
But don't get frustrated with yourself if you struggle with this at first and can't come up with anything and you sort of feel like, well, I don't know. Just keep asking the question and reflecting. And I would love for you to do it several times a day, you know, at lunchtime, reflecting on the morning, at dinner time, reflecting on the afternoon, before you go to bed, reflecting on the evening. If you only do it once, that's fine. I mean, doing it at all is good. And as G.K. Chesterton says, doing anything worth doing is worth doing badly. So give yourself permission to do this badly at first.
Which is really, really, really hard for someone who is the manager of all things and feels like they must to believe. I struggle with that all the time. And it's been a journey for me to learn, okay, you know, I've got to listen to this and try to, you know, get something done, even if it's done badly. So allowing yourself to take these steps, you're not doing it badly because it's a journey in healing. It's a journey in healing that will benefit you and your well-being, but as you so insightfully put, Sarah, will benefit your marriage and your children. And I want to go back to our first caller, Marianne, who really spoke of living the kind of life you're talking about now, but her kids are grown, and she's very sad that she passed this on to her kids. So the most healing thing you can do for yourself and for the future of your kids is this kind of exercise, so you can go on this journey of healing and freeing yourself from this sort of ingrained survival skill that you aren't surviving well in.
So again, when you build that space in the day, the two questions you're looking at, number one, when could I have used some help based on your feelings of frustration or resentment or being overwhelmed? And secondly, what might that help have looked like? The second thing I want you to do to work on this personally is be praying every day. Okay, Lord, help me open my heart to receive the help from the people you've placed in my life to love me. Help me open my heart to receive the help from the people that you've placed in my life to love me, especially my husband. right? So I want you to be praying that every day and really reflecting on what that means, because you can't change this without greater awareness of the problem and what it would look like to change, and those two things are going to help you reflect on that. Now let's talk about how you can work with your husband on this, and the two of you could kind of address this. First of all, I'd love the two of you to be praying about this together every day. And, you know, your part of that prayer might be, you know, Lord, help me be open to letting my husband in a little bit more today. Help me to be willing to share my needs. Help me to know what my needs are, to share them with him, and to let him help me, you know, because I really do want to let him in. And I want to help him feel like I do need him, and that I care about him, and that I want his support. And he might say, you know, Lord, help me be the husband that my wife can trust to open up to that way. Help me to show her that I really do want to know what it is that she needs, and I really am willing to help, and that I want to feel more a part of her life. And so you're praying that every day in your own words, and the specific words you're using might change from day to day based on the circumstances, the struggle that you had about it yesterday, or the concerns you've got about today. But be praying about that. Make that prayer part of your daily couple prayer. The second thing I'd like you to do is something that Lisa and I do every day, which is that, now for us it's the first thing in the morning, but it could be any time during the day, it could be the night before. You ask the question as a couple, what's one way that I could make your life a little easier or more pleasant today? And you're both asking that of each other, right? So you ask him, he asks you, what's one thing, what are some things that I could do to help make your life a little easier or more pleasant today? And again, even if the answer is, I don't know, just keep asking the question every day and reflecting on it, and know that the question's coming, so you're thinking about it throughout the course of the day too.
And sometimes it'll be the really practical things, like, you know what, I really need you to handle bath time with the kids tonight because I really need to have a half an hour to myself, or for you to start taking over a particular task so that, you know, or play with the kids so I can actually get a shower, or whatever those very practical things are. But it can also be, and this might come more quickly to your husband than to you, those emotional and spiritual things. Like your husband may say to you, I need you to keep in mind that I want you to share your feelings with me. I need you to be able to tell me what you need. And you can say to him, I need you to check in with me and help me stay aware of this idea that we're working on for me and help me heal. So text me during the day. I need you to be praying for me at this particular time because I know this is when I start to get ramped up because the day gets busy and I start to feel drained and anxious about it. So it can be those very practical things, but don't keep this completely practical because you want to start inviting God into your marriage and family life and into your emotional life.
Yeah, you know, if you can't think of, like Lisa saying, the practical things to ask for help with, then ask for that prayer. Yeah. You know, ask for that encouragement at a particular time of day. You know, ask that you do check in with each other, you know, to remind each other that you care about each other and you're there for each other. You know, so don't forget about those emotional and spiritual ways that you can be present to each other as well.
The other thing, and you don't say how old your children are, but they're, you know, you've got three of them, so the oldest one is at least 3 years old. Start to pray as a family if you're not doing that already, even at bedtime with the kids, and make part of your prayer, Lord, teach us how to serve and love one another and take care of each other well. And then, you know, if the kids are verbal enough, old enough, do what Greg is saying, you know, to do between you and your husband, but do it at night. What's one thing we can each do to help take care of each other tomorrow? And if they're too little to really get it yet, you start to say things like, I'm going to help mommy set the table for dinner. I'm going to, you know, be quieter in the morning than I usually am so that everybody can feel more peaceful. Little things. They begin to realize that part and parcel of being in your family is mutual self-donation, is giving from ourselves to the other, that is what being a Christian is really all about. So you're starting to build that foundation with them as well.
And since we're talking about the family piece of it too, I really want to encourage you to let the kids help with the household stuff, even if they're little, even if that just means play help. So for example, if you have a 3-year-old, you know, or even a 2-year-old, and you're cleaning the living room, give them a paper towel, or you know, and let them just play at cleaning with you.
Give them a real life Swiffer and let them run it around the floor. One of our grandkids, his mom gives him a Swiffer duster on the floor, and the kid's big into sports, so they say to him, "This is a Zamboni. You've got to clean the ice." And so he's pretending to clear the ice for hockey, and he gets a lot of the dust and a lot of the crumbs that are on the floor. Is it perfect? No, but it works.
Yeah, and at that age, kids love to play at being grown up and doing those grown up things, and that's play for them. And it's a great way to learn to contribute to the well being of the family. We talk a lot about this, by the way, on Catholic Home. That's Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. It's an app. You can get it wherever you get your apps. But on Catholic Home, we really teach one of the principles we teach is consistent, cheerful attention to each other's needs. And that's for the whole family, not just mom and dad. That's how do we help our kids offer consistent and cheerful attention to each other's needs as well, so that the whole family is working together to build each other up and show up for each other in both the tasks and the emotional things that need to happen to build a strong household. We provide coaching on the app, expert coaching to questions that subscribers ask, as well as giving creative resources every month, like downloadables and exclusive podcasts. We have a cartoon series that teaches families how to be a dynamic domestic church. It's really a great resource, and I hope that you'll become part of the Catholic Home community. That's Catholic HOM. You can download it wherever you get your apps, and join us there for follow-up support in making this happen in your life. Sarah, thank you so much for the question. It's a terrific question. I hope these suggestions will get you started, and I hope that you'll become part of the Catholic Home community so that we can continue to support you in building a more loving, connected, caring Catholic family where you're comfortable stating your needs and knowing that the people around you are there to love you and support you. And then training your kids how to have that kind of relationship when they grow up too. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Let Me Speak to the Manager. And that manager is you, by the way, because you feel like you've got to manage everything and everyone. We want to help you step out of that role and start living the relationships that God wants for you, those mutually self-giving relationships where everybody takes care of each other instead of one person carrying all the weight. 877-573-7825. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verse 10.
Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
A reminder, again, of what St. John Paul talks about in his Theology of the Body, that relationships, all Christian relationships, are supposed to be mutually self-giving. That, yes, we work hard to take care of the people we care for and that God's placed in our lives, but we also have to make ourselves vulnerable and state our needs to them and give them a chance to serve us so that we can outdo each other in showing honor, as St. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 10. Well, that sounds great in theory, but you're not quite sure how to make it work for you, either because you're uncomfortable stating your own needs or asking for help or letting people in, or you're perfectly fine asking for help. It's just that you're surrounded by people who won't respond. We're here for you. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with more of your questions and calls coming up right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
That was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, The Kevin Matthews Story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? there's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, let me speak to the manager. And the manager's you, because you feel like you need to manage everything and everyone. Well, we want to help you step out of that role and start celebrating the mutually self-giving relationships that St. John Paul says characterizes healthy Christian relationships. If you are struggling because you have a hard time telling people what you need, letting people help, or if you're perfectly fine asking for help, it's just that nobody wants to take up the invitation, either way, we're here for you. 877-573-7825.
Well, I think that Dina, who wrote to us from Pennsylvania, might be in that last category, Greg. She said, "My siblings and I are in a repeated argument with our parents. They are 89 and 91 and have always been self-sufficient. But it's become really obvious that they need a lot of help now. They can't take care of the house. They can't even get the garbage to the curb. The house is starting to smell. They live about an hour from each one of us three kids. We all live in different places, but it's pretty easy for us to get there as long as we can take a day or so to do so. We want to come up with a plan to move them to assisted living somewhere near one of us, but they insist they want to stay in the house, and we want to honor them, but also protect them. How should we handle this? We don't want to overstep, but we're realizing that by not accepting our help, in the long run, they're going to make this really awful for themselves and for all of us. What can we do?" And that's Dina in Pennsylvania.
All right, Dina, thank you so much for the question. And you use the word you want to honor, for the phrase you want to honor them. And honoring our parents does not mean obeying them as adults. And it doesn't mean, and the Catechism says as much, and it doesn't mean letting them do foolish things or potentially dangerous things, right? It means treating them with dignity and respect. It means attending to their physical needs in their old age and being there as much as you possibly can for them in the ways that are most appropriate. Now, you know, what we have to balance here is their right to make their own decisions, even at this age. We have to respect their free will, but we also have to protect them from themselves if in fact they're living in a dangerous way. So I need you to prayerfully reflect on how bad you think it is. You keep bringing it up and saying, "Look, guys, I we love you and we want to support you in being independent as long as you can, but here are some things that we're seeing, and what are your plans for addressing those things?"
And you have to be honest with them. You can't be afraid to hurt their feelings by saying, "Hey, guys, you know, it's starting to smell. You don't have the skills to do this." Really have a conversation with your siblings as well. Is there Is there a bridge to this? Is there a way the three of you can chip in and get them household help to take care of some of those things instead of moving them to assisted living, to acclimate them to the idea that they need help?
But Lisa's point is well taken. You can't be afraid to hurt their feelings with the truth. Okay, you can certainly speak the truth charitably, but they need to know that the house smells or that there are dangerous things there. If that's not working and you do believe that they are in a dangerous situation, you can also contact your county's or their county's elder services department. So yeah. If you contact the Department of Human Services in your county, they will have elder services.
They have a Department of Aging.
And they'll be able to dispatch a social worker to come and look and do an evaluation of the home and make recommendations from there. That's kind of a power move, so that would be your last resort. But that's what you want to try to follow through. So I hope that you'll take these steps, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you'd like more support in stepping out of that role of being the caretaker or being in relationships where no one's there for you, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and we'll hook you up with the help that you need to find faithful ways to respond to those challenges. CatholicCounselors.com.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.